Greetings, friends. This is John O'Gwen. We're continuing our survey of the book of Judges. We're picking up now in chapter 11. And chapter 11 and 12 introduce us to another judge of Israel, a man by the name of Jephthah. You know, everybody doesn't start out in life with a lot of advantages and a lot of positive things going for them. And yet, some people, because of what they go through, allow their life to be dominated by all sorts of fears and resentments. Jephthah was a man who certainly had a lot of reason to be resentful of those around him. Jephthah was an illegitimate child, we're told. He was a Gileadite. His father had had a number of children by his wife, but Gideon's mother was a harlot that his father had had a brief relationship with. Yet his father took Gideon, or took Jephthah in and raised him up. But we're told here in Judges chapter 11 that when Jephthah's father died, his brothers called him and said, "Look, you know, you lived here as long as Dad was alive, but we don't want you around. We've never accepted you. We don't consider you our brother. You're not going to have any inheritance with us. You just get out of here." So Jephthah left. We're told that Jephthah dwelled in a wilderness area, and he gradually collected a group of men around him that were sort of outcasts of society, and became in many ways sort of the Robin Hood of his day. And he got quite a noted reputation, as it describes here. Now, in the meantime, in Judges 11, verse 4, it mentions that the children of the Ammonites came in and began to oppress the portion of Israel that was east of the Jordan, the area of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh, the area of Gilead. The Ammonites made war against them. And things began to get very difficult and very rough. And finally, what we find is that the elders of the people came to Jephthah, sort of hat in hand, and they said, "Would you please come and be our leader? We're in trouble. We're being oppressed by these people, and we don't have anybody that can lead the army, and we want you to be our judge. We want you to be our leader. We want you to take charge and to deliver us from these people." Now, you know, at that point, it would have been very easy for Jephthah to have said, "I don't want any part of you folks. You never wanted me. You never wanted me around. You didn't like me. You put me down. Now, all of a sudden, you want me to help?" Well, that was not Jephthah's response. He was not an individual who allowed himself to just be ruled by all sorts of resentments. Jephthah listened to them, and he asked them. He said, "Now, if I go out to deliver you, and I'm your leader, and God delivers you from the Ammonites through me, am I going to be your head? Are you going to look to me as the leader?" And they said, "Yes, the Lord be witness. We will do that." So Jephthah went out and he gathered people together, sent messengers throughout the land and gathered people together to fight the Ammonites. And in the meantime, this event in the book of Judges is dated because we find that the Ammonites had sent, they've been trying to take over Israel, and Jephthah sent a message to them. It mentions here, and as it comes on down through chapter 11, and he told them, he said, "Look, verse 26, we've been here all this time. We've been here 300 years. Why didn't you, if you claim to have these cities and that they're rightfully yours, why haven't you done it earlier?" So Israel by this time, this event, just dating this section of the book of Judges, the time of Jephthah is 300 years after Israel had entered into rest, after they had inherited the land and come in. So God was with Jephthah and delivered the Ammonites, but what we find is that Jephthah had made a very foolish vow. He had made a vow that he would offer as a sacrifice to God the very first thing that he saw when he got home. Well, you know what happened? The very first thing that he saw when he got home was his daughter coming running out to greet him. And this was a terrible thing. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly what Jephthah did. I think clearly she was not offered as a human sacrifice on the altar. That would have been something that would have been absolutely repugnant and forbidden by God. Rather, if you read the account here carefully in Judges 11, we find that what his daughter lamented was the fact that she was would never get married, that she would never be able to have children, she'd never be able to have a family. So evidently she was, in that sense, set aside or put away sort of in a way of being dedicated to God and yet never able to get married. And it talks about her bewailing that for a period of a couple of months. Now, some of the Ephraimites had gotten upset because Jephthah had not called them and hadn't allowed them to be part of the army. And they were, they came and they were mad, and actually there was a little bit of a civil war in Israel that went on for a while, and Jephthah defeated them, and we're told that he judged Israel, Judges chapter 12 verse 7, 6 years, and then he died. And it mentions certain other men that judged that section of Israel, Ibzan and Elon. Are mentioned, and then Abdon, the son of Hillel. Then we're told in chapter 13 that Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Now, this would have been over on the west side. The story of Jephthah and the Gileadites is on the east side. At the same time, this was a longer period of oppression that occurred over on the east side in the area of the Philistines. And in Judges chapter 13, we're introduced to one of the very famous characters of the Bible, a man by the name of Samson. Now, you find right here in Judges 13 that the events surrounding the birth of Samson were miraculous. An angel had appeared to the family, or to the parents, and had told the mother, the one who was to be the mother of Samson, the wife of Manoah, that she would bear a son, but her son was to be a Nazarite. Now, a Nazarite was a man who was especially dedicated to God, and there were certain insignias or certain signs of a Nazarite vow. One, he didn't cut his hair, which made him stand out as unusual because the men of Israel did not wear normally their hair long, but a Nazarite did not cut his hair. Normally, a Nazarite vow was for just a period of time, a designated period of time. Samson is one of three mentioned in the Bible who were Nazarites from their mother's womb. In addition to not cutting his hair, he was not to eat of any of the fruit of the vine, not to drink wine or strong drink or even vinegar or eat grapes. And he was not to, the other thing Nazarites were not to do was to touch a dead body. Now, as we find the story here in chapter 13, the events of the birth of Samson, and how that Samson was born, that God began to, she bore a son after a period of time, 1324, and called his name Samson. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan. Now, Samson grew up, and as you read the story, Samson was a man that had a great deal of promise. God gave him tremendous superhuman strength. But Samson, though raised up for a special purpose, was a very self-centered young man. And Samson, though he was the strongest man, was in one sense the weakest man. And he had a weakness for women and the wrong kind of women. Chapter 14 records the account of Samson being attracted to one of the Philistine women. Now, the Israelites were told not to intermarry with the other peoples around. But Samson disregarded that, disregarded his parents' desire. They said, look, verse 3, isn't there ever a woman among the daughters of your people? Why do you want to go these foreigners? But you see, God was going to use this. You know, it says it was of the Lord, or it was allowed by God. God was going to work through Samson to accomplish his purpose in many ways in spite of Samson. So as the story comes on down, we find Samson using his strength to kill a young lion. And it comes on down and it tells the story of the wedding feast. Samson wanted to marry this Philistine woman, and so he did. And before the, you know, showing you what this was, before the time of the honeymoon was over, Samson got mad and left. And while he was gone, a little while after he's gone, his father-in-law just gave his wife to somebody else. So chapter 15 tells a little later in the time of the wheat harvest, on in the late spring, Samson decided to come back and sort of make up with his wife. When he got there, what did he find? She was living with another fellow. Well, all this made Samson mad. He was furious. He caught 300 foxes, took firebrands, tied them between the tails of these foxes, two by two, turned them loose, and they burned up the Philistine harvest. And when the Philistines figured out what Samson had done and knew what had stirred it up, they came and actually killed this woman that had, the Philistines did, that had briefly been married to Samson. Then Samson was upset about that, and so he was going to smite them hip and thigh with a great slaughter, it mentions in verse 8. And he was used here. He wiped out a number of Philistines and describes this story. And this is the situation that comes on down chapter 15, verse 20. Samson judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Here's a period of judging actually overlap with Philistine domination. And it describes here some of the superhuman feats of Samson. Well, chapter 16 picks up the story. He was on his way to Gaza, and he saw a harlot. So he decided to stop by and visit her. Word got, as he was in this harlot's house, word got around Samson was there, and he knew that they were going to try to come in and kill him. So about midnight, he got up and actually picked up these huge gates, these big, huge gates of the city, and he carried them away, just ripped them up there from the wall, carried them up, and set them on a hill. And a little while later, verse 6, he got mixed up with another woman, dear Delilah. Now, as you go on down through the story, Delilah began to sort of wheedle away, trying to get Samson to tell her the secret of his great strength. Now, he made up some tall tale and told her about why he had such strength. Delilah immediately told the Philistines, who then rushed in on Samson. Samson was sleeping there at Delilah's house, and she did the very thing he told her would deprive him of his strength. And, of course, when the Philistines rushed in, well, Samson jumped up and he broke the bonds that she had bound him with. He just made up a tall tale. Well, she began to cry and to moan and groan and say, if you loved me, you'd tell me. So he told her another tale. And guess what? The same thing happened again. And so they went through again the same situation. And the third time, Samson made up something and told her. And guess what? The same thing. Now, think about it. Wouldn't you at this point sort of connect up the dots? Samson didn't. He may have been the strongest man. He certainly wasn't the smartest. Delilah began to whine, and she began to cry, and if you loved me, you would tell me. So what did Samson do? He finally was worn down, and he told her the truth. And the result, of course, is once again, just like it happened before, the Philistines came in. Now, what the truth was, of course, that he was a Nazarite, and his long hair was a symbol of that Nazarite vow. And if he lost that, he knew that he would lose his strength. She cut his hair all off. And the Philistines took him captive, put his eyes out, carried him, and actually bound him up like a draft animal. He was going to be turning a grist mill. One of these big stones had a pole coming out from it, and it would normally be with, made up, but he just made a tall thing. Well, she went to cry. He began to cry and to moan and groan. If you moan and say, you'd love me, tell me. He told so another tale. And guess what? And the same thing, same thing again happened. And went through, so they again situated the same and situation time. The third and made up Sam's thing and told up something. Older. And guess what? The same thing. Now, think about it. Wouldn't this put you at sort of point set the connects dots? Samson may have been any circus man, but certainly was the smartest. Delilah began to cry, and if you loved me, you would tell me. So Samson did what Samson finally do? He was willing, and he torn down truth, told her the truth. result, and there is one course, and just again, it happens like it, that the Philistines came, Philistine, what the man was, of group was, of course, he wasn't at he right, and Nazareth, long, and his whole assembly there was Nazareth of that now. Lost that, and if he leave that, he would new Frank, lose his sheep, she's head, cut him off, Harold. And the Philistine, and King Cain took his eyes out, put his eyes out, and carried him, back, and actually found him up, like a animal, draft going to, he was turning to be to one of the grit.